Welcome to the Avengers Podcast, where we assemble weekly to binge the MCU old and new. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, X, and Threads at Avengers Podcast. That is one word, ladies and gentlemen, A-B-I-N-G-E-R-S Podcast. Give us a like, a comment, and let us know what you think of the show. You want to watch the video version of this podcast? Hi! We're in video form, youtube.com/TheAvengers. We're on a goal to hit 500 subscribers, and we are close to getting there. Help make us happen. Help make it happen. YouTube.com/TheAvengers. But I'm just one of your hosts. I'm the one that's not flipping you off. My name's Brandon. Emmy, how are you doing?
I'm feeling spoopy.
Spoopy.
Spoopy. Happy Friday the 13th. Or Saturday the 14th, if you celebrate that.
Or Sunday the 15th, if you're a couple days late. And Monday the 16th, if you're nasty.
If you're nasty.
Keith, how you doing, dude?
I'm doing okay. I have a pretty bad head cold. I nearly said, you know, go on without me.
You did.
But I figured with our new visual medium and with Loki's signature color being green, I thought a sneeze into the camera would be pretty on brand. So I'm ready to go. I took my cold meds. Let's get it on.
Oh, my God. Keith shedding that. Oh, my God. Look at you looking sharp, sir.
I couldn't find my tongue.
And the rolled up sleeves. I mean,
yeah, not faking it this time. Real rolled up. Where's my handbook?
Oh man, Keith coming ready. If you want to see his rolled up sleeves, YouTube's where it's at. Guys, we're here reviewing Loki Season 2, Episode 2, Breaking Bad. If you have not watched
Breaking Brad.
Breaking Brad. Oh, God.
We're actually breaking down the wrong show.
We're not a Marvel podcast anymore. We're going to review Breaking Bad. Yeah. Yeah. It's just a Breaking Bad podcast now. Episode 2.
Science, bitch.
That's it.
Oh.
All right. So, Breaking Brad. I apologize. So, if you have not watched Breaking Brad yet, you have not watched episode 2, season 2 of Loki, please don't listen any further. We're going to jump right into spoiler territory. We don't want to spoil it for you. So, please walk away. Go away. Come back when you've watched it. We'll be here, rolled up sleeves and all, and we'll be happy to discuss it with you. All right? So, head on out. I think we're safe. I think we're safe. What? What? Did you see that bubble? What the shit was that?
What the fuck?
Okay, sorry. We're having a moment.
It happened right when I... No? All right, well, I guess...
What? Brandon's got some fancy shit happening.
Okay, I don't know what's happening.
Wow, just Brandon, not fair.
Sorry, guys. Breaking Brad, guys. Before we start, Keith, you had a little bit of quotage last week, and we had someone reach out on our YouTube with the correct response, and we promised a shout-out. So, sir, I'm going to hand it over to you.
Last week, I threw a quote out there and said the first person to comment to us on any social media would get a shout-out. Bragging rights, of course, as well. That person is longtime listener Sarah Smith, a.k.a. Sprocket. She's awesome. I've had the pleasure of recording with her before. Hilarious. Very analytical. Thank you so much, Sarah, for guessing the quote. It was 97X, bam, the future of rock and roll. Was actually something from Rain Man, 1987, a fantastic movie with Dustin Hoffman. If you haven't seen that, check it out. And he does say that 100 times in that movie. I've got a new quote for you. Oh. Same rules.
All right.
First listener to correctly identify the movie this quote is from in the comments on any of our social media will get a shout out. This one's actually a two-person back and forth. So let's see if anybody gets this. Are you guys ready?
Ready, Emmy?
Yes.
You can't guess.
I will try.
I know you. That's why I'm telling you now. You can't guess.
Yeah, you're not allowed. Not allowed.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. Ready? I've just had an apostrophe. I think you mean an epiphany. Lightning has just struck my brain. Well, that must hurt. What movie is that from? And if you guess it in our social media, you'll get a shout out, and we'll go on from there.
Sarah,
I see Emmy's brain is working.
It's ticking.
And it means a lot to see that.
Sarah, huh. Shout out to you. Well done. Sprocket, long time listener. Thank you so much for reaching out, and shout out you. Great, great job.
I feel like Whitney also deserves a shout out because she said something in the Discord, and Brandon was like, "You win."
I fucked up, Whitney. Yeah, I'm an idiot. Really? Whitney, that's what you get. Oh, and we have another shout out. We have a patron, guys. We have a brand We have a new patron, nice. Guys. So it's one of those days. We're going to give a few shout outs. But Tiana Graham is joined the patronage. She joined for a year. Thank you so much for your yearly donation to this podcast. That made us feel really good to see that alert. So thank you so much. You get a shout out. And in the video format, you will see your name below. So thank you. Thank you so much. Heart hands to you, Tiana. Thank you. Thank you for supporting the Avengers podcast. So let's go on with Loki episode 2, Breaking Brad, or Breaking Bad if you're nasty. And I'm going to say this show was a lot. This was a lot of Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Like, where are we going? Let's go. Let's jump on. I felt like we were constantly just chasing. I thought we were constantly just trying to figure things out as we went. However, I really liked this episode. It was confusing the first time I watched it. I'm very thankful I watched it twice, because the first time, a mind fuck. I'm just going to be honest. If you've seen this once and you're like, it wasn't that good, kind of don't blame you. I think I was kind of in that camp where, did this make sense? I don't know. And after watching it again, I really, really liked it. A lot is going on. A lot is happening. And hey, we're coming for you. X5? Is X going to give it to you? I think. I don't know. Anyway, X5, Brad, we're trying to. I think you can give it to Emmy the way she's looking. She's like, hey.
I wouldn't hate it.
All right. But I really, really enjoyed this episode. A couple little nitpicks here and there, but I genuinely thought, okay, we're getting somewhere. We're moving along. Tom Hiddleston, once again, phenomenal. Obi, when he's in it, very sparingly in this one, but still great. Owen Wilson had some of the best lines, and I'm starting to really get heartbroken for this character, for Mobius, because I feel there is something there, and he says a couple of poignant lines, especially about, well, what if something is there? That's going to hurt a lot worse. I feel that, and I really was pretty emotionally invested in Mobius this episode. And he still has that charm where I was torturing you and now we're having a wonderful meal together like gentlemen. Fucking love him. Owen Wilson is so perfect and he is wonderful as Mobius. I really wouldn't want anyone else playing him. He's quickly becoming that I don't want anyone else playing this character but this person. And I really, really love it. Overall, a lot more questions, a lot more trying to figure some things out. But I like this episode. I really, really thought episode 2 was strong. Ready to jump into episode 3. As soon as this one ended, I was ready for episode 3. And that's what a good show should do. So that's my initial thoughts. I'm going to throw it over to you, Emmy. Emmy, you gave me some questionable looks, and you gave me some pauses, and you gave me some nods, and a couple little, So I want to throw it to you.
I like to switch it up. I got reactions for days, man.
Oh wow, we're on video now. We can do reactions.
Me.
What was your thoughts on episode 2 of this season of Loki?
Okay, I do have to correct myself from last episode. Loki was absolutely pruned from the back. I did go back and rewatch that, and I know Keith said, "Oh, I thought he was pruned from the back." And
are you saying Keith was right?
Yes.
Okay.
I was incorrect.
That's big of you, Emmy. That's
I wasn't wrong.
Okay. Well, we got a little.
I just wasn't right.
All right.
And that theory, we can throw it in the trash. All right. Okay. That's the first one we can throw.
Okay.
But yeah, there were some people in the Discord too that were like, "Oh, I thought he was pruned from the back," but yes, he was pruned from the back.
Yes.
So, muddy. I loved this episode because I loved seeing villainous Loki again, just for a second, a couple times in this episode, but it wasn't something that I loved about the first Avengers movie, but seeing him go back to that villainous was cool and I liked it.
Yeah.
And I really, really, really I don't know. That spoke to me in this episode. Like him just kind of like tapping back into that, like, I've done some bad shit and I'm gonna do some bad shit to you.
Terrible.
I really enjoyed that.
I think you liked it in a
couple. Is that weird?
I think you liked it in a couple ways, Amy, but we'll get to that later. So
okay.
Yeah.
I felt like this episode felt like it was like really big stakes.
Mm-hmm.
But as a viewer, whenever they started branching the timelines, I was kind of just like, eh. Like, I don't. It sounds callous.
I don't mean to interrupt your initial thoughts, but that was one of my nitpicks was. And this was something actually Renee brought to me, and I agreed with her. She's like, it doesn't feel like the stakes are that huge because I'm just seeing these lines going away. We're not seeing the impact. We're just hearing about it. We're just getting told dialogue and watching this.
Yeah.
She thinks, why couldn't we see that visual? And as terrible as it was, but kind of similar to the Infinity War dusting. Like, let's just see these branches completely just get wiped and see what happens. And just that mad dash in that last second. You know, I really think that would have been impactful. It would have been. And also, you know, Sylvie's is not. So she's able to just go right back. That kind of makes it seem like, well, the one we were in, that's the one we would have had any attachment to as a viewer. And so when that wasn't, I'm with you on that, Emmy. That was one of my nitpicks. I know we're kind of starting early. I apologize, but yeah.
I have a counter for this that I think will come in handy.
Okay.
I'm excited.
All right. So it felt like big stakes and the characters in the show were like, this is big stakes. And B-15 is like, those are lives, but they've been pruning people for who knows how long. And it's just like, I don't know that I care about those lives. And yeah, like Brandon said, like, they're just lines on the TV screen. And yeah, it didn't do enough to make me care about those timelines.
Yeah. All right.
But yeah. Okay. All right.
All right.
I mean, Loki is a fabulous show. I am absolutely invested in the show. Can't stop watching it.
Yes.
Can't wait for the next episode.
Cannot wait for episode 3. I would agree with that. Keith, I want to know your initial thoughts and your counter argument to what we were just talking about.
This episode might be my favorite episode in 2 seasons. It is a high contender.
Shit. Holy shit.
This episode is a high contender for me because I loved episode 1 and episode 6 in season 1. Bookends of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So good. You get to see Loki reacting to what his life might have been. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then you get to see the great performance by Jonathan Majors at the end.
Yeah.
And his difficult decision with Sylvie, and everybody in that scene was doing great. This episode is so, like what I was saying last week about it being a marriage between seriousness and humor and wanting to see that ratio more balanced a little bit. And the dire straits of what goes on at the TVA needs to matter at the same time as everyone's just been told that they're variants, or at least that room of people who get to learn that knowledge, like Bradley, for example.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't decide who stole the show in this episode. I can't decide whether it was the actor playing Bradley, which made me immediately look up his name, Raphael Kazel. He's not been in a ton of stuff where interviewers have said his name. So I'm going to look that up later. But him, Tom Hiddleston, Owen Wilson, oh my God, all three of them had such amazing shining moments in this episode. It was incredible. But the counter argument I would make, you have a great point where you don't see those branches get pruned. And we, you know, as soon as you said that, I was thinking, okay, what would that cost? What would that look like? Yeah. What would we see if you just saw this branch, just a good montage of destruction and chaos and just people being totally extinguished, snuffed out like a candle. It is impactful. For some reason, my brain immediately went to defend, maybe it's my devil's advocate kind of side coming through, but to have the TVA kind of shown what they do and how they could become disaffected by it and how just everything is on a screen for them And how did they operate this many years by just pruning people left, right, and center? Because they detached, and the TVA would not show you that much personal and that much feels. They would just say, oh, it's on a little screen. Looks like an old arcade game. Looks like fucking Double Dragon.
More or analytical.
Rampage or something. It's just little tiny explosions on a screen that look... It just looked like Atari. And for them, it's so disjointed from emotion for them. So to me, it's kind of an excuse for them to have operated for this way for so long. And B-15's words matter all the more because of her being the one in the room standing there and going, these are people, these are lives, showing more so what her growth has been. And I'm excited to see where it goes forward, because I'm so glad she didn't get just kind of cast aside. She is a main player in this season, so I'm excited for that.
Great analysis. I agree with that point. Still think it would have hit harder with a little bit of visual representation, because that would have been more so, now she's not seeing the line, she's seeing the people. Even just have quick,
yes, her even just like,
yeah,
flashing
the,
and being
the
like,
visual,
yeah, like, that would have been cool.
I think that would have been a little bit better than the thing she looked at the whole time suddenly has changed. Yes, it shows her personal growth, but I would like maybe something to connect that as a viewer a little bit more pronounced. But I do like the thought. I think that's a really, really strong opinion. I think it's good. I think it's great. Loki, I'm so happy. At least through two episodes, we got a Marvel Studios television show that we're all just invested in, ready to go. It's not any of this, I don't know. The fact that Keith... I'm sorry, season one, episode one, forever will be my favorite episode of Loki. It's going to take a lot in these next four episodes for something to surpass it, because it was so brand new, it was so different, yet it was a character we loved as that through line, but everything else was on its head. Fucking love that first episode. Hard.
That first episode.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's dope.
It is. But but so... Rotten Tomatoes, Emmy, you've had time. We give ourselves a day. Guys, by the way, we're going to be releasing Loki reviews moving forward on Friday nights, early Saturday morning, depending on where you're at in the world. So just letting you guys know, look for Fridays. And you will see that that we are creating podcasts at that time. So anyway, let's go to Rotten Tomatoes. Let's go there. Let's see what's...
Two Rotten Tomatoes. Okay. All right. I want you guys to guess. So last week it was at 85.
Yes. I think it hasn't changed because everyone had the first four episodes. I'm going to say 85.
Oh, now we got audience scores in there too, though.
Oh, that's a good
audience
one.
Is
first,
different.
For the first time.
Oh, do you want to guess audience? We usually don't, but I don't mind.
You're right.
Switch it up.
Oh.
Shit.
Ooh. All right. I'm going to say 85 for critics still. I think it's maintaining. For audience, I'm going to go, because there's a lot of just pessimistic assholes, I'm going to say.
Yeah, but it's not a female lead, technically.
Yeah, that's a shame that we even have to say that. So I think...
That is a shame.
That is a fucking shame. I'm going to say 82% audience, 85% critics.
I'm going to say 85% critics, 96% audience, because it's the opposite of my favorite number.
All right. I have a joke after I tell you guys all of the scores.
What's the scores?
All right. So
no, what's
critics,
the joke? No, I'm just
kidding. Critics gave it an 87%.
Oh, okay. It's gone up 2%. Gross. That's awesome. Yep.
Audiences, 92%.
Okay.
Very close, all right. Keith.
All right. Keith wins.
IMDb, 8.2.
That's 89. Strong.
Yep. 89% of Google users like this show.
Awesome. Loki seems to be really hitting out of the park with all the right numbers. Hell yeah, Marvel Studios. Okay. I see you. Okay.
All right.
What's the joke, Amy?
Okay. So this combines two of my favorite things. It is a dirty joke and a math joke.
All right.
Oh, wow.
What's the square root of 69?
Buttholes.
It's 8 something.
That is good. That is wonderful. All right.
I just cracked myself up again.
Yeah, yeah. All right. We're going to go into Loki a little bit deeper dive. That's probably a weird thing to say at this point in time. However, guys, I want to talk to you about something that's kind of just in the middle of this episode that I'm just going to throw a random... I'm not warming ourselves up. I'm not like, hey, let's turn the gears a little bit. Obviously, we see at the beginning of the episode that they find Brad, who is just living his best life. They make a chase, and they grab him. But there's something Brad says continuously throughout this episode. This is not real. This is not real. Multiple times. I think I wrote in my notes three times. It could have been more. But I wrote three times. This is not real. This is not real. This is not real. Shout out to Renee. She was like, is he in purgatory? Is something going on? What's happening here? I need you all to weigh in. Is this real? What the hell are we watching? I don't know. Or is it not that deep? Is it more, hey, they took us from our lives. This is all just, I don't know. I just want to throw that out.
Emmy, you go first.
Okay. Well, I think you've got something there because this is not real. The TVA is not technically real, right? Right?
Right.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. No. Is it?
Time works different, and like it's just a whole different thing. Like it doesn't exist in time or space. It's just a whole. It's not real. It's not fucking real. But you say that, Mobius, multiple times this episode said, you can say that again.
Something is going on. Is this a Mephisto shit? Is this Mephisto? Are we falling down a rabbit hole? Keith, we need you to help us. We have a tendency to slip and dive into places we shouldn't be. And I feel like we're going there and you're just saying, have a nice trip. Help us.
Goodbye.
I'm not going to say anything that confirms or denies what you're saying as much as for me, Brad's character or Bradley, he corrects you 1,000 times in this episode. It's Bradley. I love his fucking performance in this episode, but he's going through something brand new and it cuts back the previously on Loki. It cuts back to his reaction, finding out what B-15 says. We all had lives. We're all variants and our lives were pruned. And he's thinking this changes everything. And Doc says it changes nothing. And however she would say it with a Scottish accent. Sorry for our Scottish.
No, that was
it changes nothing. That's my best. I don't know. But Brad's just like, this changes everything. And I wondered what he meant by that in the first episode, but he is deconstructing his religion, as Clinton would say. This is all about deconstructing what he knew all of his time as a variant, or no, not as a variant, as a TVA member,
right.
As a TVA hunter. He's totally changed his mind about everything because now there's a life to go live. And that's the whole episode ends up being is his exploration of that and him getting inside Mobius's head, especially. Oh man, I love that scene. It's so good, so good. But yeah, that's what I think it is. Brad's a step behind what Loki knows. He's coming to his own understanding of that, and he's going through something that
okay,
he looks at the TVA as, this doesn't fucking exist. This is all I've known. This is all I've understood. Now I've been told it doesn't mean anything to him anyways, and that's the way he's interpreted it.
Wow, I like that.
And his life, to Mobius's point, that name Brad just really makes me want to.
It's Brad.
It's Bradley.
Okay, Bradley. Either way.
I love it. You're like the name Brad. No, it's Bradley. Fuck them both.
Okay. Bradley, the life that he's going back to is a good one. He's fucking famous.
He hit it big, man.
Mobius's point, like if he goes back and realizes that he has a good life, like he's gonna want to stay. That part of this really hits me. Like, if it's a good life, you're gonna want to stay there.
And that's my favorite part of the, one of my favorite parts of the episode is when they do their, we go into it later more so, but their good cop, bad cop routine, and Mobius takes over and he says, okay, knock, knock.
Yeah.
Who's there? Bradley.
Bradley who?
And he goes, Bradley who?
That's showbiz.
I love that so much.
He's like,
it's such a good line.
It's, and it's such an Owen Wilson delivery, and it's so good. It's so good.
He laughs like, so hard at it. He's like, showbiz.
You know, just this like soft, hard laugh, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And it's so brilliant. And I love that scene. And he's like, we don't want that to happen to you, Brad. We want to get you back. And it's
tell me more about Zaniac.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to learn about Zaniac.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, you don't want to hear about it. He's like, no, I saw the poster, Brad. It looks like a scary movie. He's like, it's a suspenseful thriller or whatever he said. It was really fucking funny.
Oh, he said elevated thriller, elevated, and I felt like thriller. Punching him in the face because it sounded like me, and I was like, shut the fuck up. Elevated thriller, shut up.
It was so good,
like,
though.
Such an ass.
Oh, I loved it. It made him more endearing to me because he took his art so seriously. It was really, really funny. But yeah, okay, so maybe that is a little bit too off, but let's go back a little bit. Obviously, we see London, and we see Loki and the chase happening. I mean, you brought this up in your initial thoughts, and I do want to just expound upon those initial thoughts. Loki using his powers. Loki, you know, yeah, and pretty cool in unique ways. Wow, if you heard that, that was not me, by the way.
Sorry.
Yeah. But he uses his powers, and it was pretty awesome to see traditional Loki again. Obviously, we saw where, you know, he's using that, you know, which Loki's the real Loki. He's got multiple iterations of himself, where he's other people. We've seen that as Captain America. Like, I love when he does the impression of Chris Evans doing an impression of Chris Evans playing Captain America. It's one of the greatest fucking things you'll ever see in your entire life, by the way. But it's him doing an impression of Tom Hiddleston doing an impression of him. It's, I don't know how to, it's just a mind fuck. And I love Chris Evans for that so much. Cause I lose it every single time thinking that's Tom Hiddleston. But either way, we see him, we see in different ways too. We see that these shadows with the horns, oh my God, seeing those again, it was really, really cool. Seeing the green eyes, a lot of different moments. It was awesome. It was great to see it again. And it's like, oh man, where's this guy been? But all the best ways. I loved it. And so, Emmy, you look like you're just dying. You look like you're bursting. What'd you think of this scene, Emmy?
It was hot.
Oh, well, okay. All right. That's one way.
But no, I just, I loved seeing that villainous Loki again and mischievous. And there's even a point when Bradley, I will put the Lee on there.
Thank you.
Bradley's nuts. No, sorry.
Bradley. It's Bradley's nuts. Bradley's.
I'm sorry.
Okay. It's my best impression of this asshole. I'm
sorry. The spacey eyes.
But yeah, where Bradley even says, like, you should put your magic away or something and fight fair or something.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Loki's just like, even then, it's not a fair fight. And just it's
not a fair
fight. Yeah, he doesn't say even then. He says, it's not a fair fight. So why? Yeah. Like,
you're fighting the god of mischief.
Yeah, like, yeah. He doesn't even like, oh, if I put it away. He's like, dude, I don't owe you shit.
I don't, yeah.
You know, exactly. Like, and I love that. I love that.
You thought you could outrun me. Oh, God. The confidence. Yeah. I love the confidence. Fucking villainous Loki.
Yes.
Like, that is fun to watch.
Agreed.
Mischievous. I won't even say villainous. Mischievous. And then, yeah, the shadows pulling him back, and the fact that Mobius is talking to the wrong Loki and being like, don't you think you're doing...
Too. Yes, it wasn't the center Loki. It was the one on the side that was the real... Yeah. Oh, I loved it. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's so good.
It is. Oh, well said.
And in this whole scene, B-15 looked fucking fly as shit.
It's such a short part of it, but like I my second watch, I was like, oh shit, B-15 takes it.
I love how cocky Bradley is in that scene though, because she's like, Bradley, I'm such a huge fan, can I get it? And he's like, well, there's always time for him. like you're getting chased by the god of mischief, and he's still like, yeah, like a part of me, that was a part that the initial watch was a bit of a nitpick. After seeing this character, I'm like, ooh, especially the thriller conversation where I was like, oh, this fucker would turn around and be like, hey, yeah, I'll sign that shit.
I can sign a tit or two.
Yeah. So I thought it was great. I really did. It was good. Keith, seeing Loki's powers back. What you thinking, man?
Loki, any chance that he's actually on the timeline and not in the TVA, why wouldn't he, you know, express his need for the magic that he's learned? And to me, he's living his James Bond fantasy, running through like 1970s London, yeah, all these alleyways. Where the fuck is this part of London? But he's in this dashing tuxedo, and the fact that he, like, he says, quit with magic and fight fair, and it's not a fair fight. I love that part too. And then, okay, he uses shadows to hold Bradley back. First of all, when the fuck did, if this is a nitpick, this is my only nitpick, I feel, of this episode. When the fuck could he do that? When could he create shadows that can actually physically hold somebody? And it made me start to think about when he, like, telekinetically, like, lifted that building in season one, and you're like, is he evolving constantly, or is he learning new tricks? Is he, like, you know, the way that like Scarlet Witch, like, is reading, or even Doctor Strange is reading books in his astral form. Like, is he just constantly, like, studying at night? Like, oh, what's a mischievous thing I can do tomorrow? Oh. And he just, like, comes up with a new trick. Like, it was just cool as shit. I loved all of it. It didn't make me question it a ton. I was just happy to see him.
Why haven't we seen this sooner? Maybe is the question.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and it's funny. Mischief 101, Chapter 4. Holding people with shadows. Like, I don't know. It's
but shadow play. is really all the shadow play necessary?
Wow. I love Owen Wilson. Owen Wilson, by the way, standout. I'm going to keep saying it. I love him. So speaking of
the show again.
Speaking of, I do want to talk about one of the big major scenes is obviously they get Bradley back to the TVA and the interrogation. And there's multiple waves of the interrogation. There's the first one, which we alluded to with the knock, knock. Who's there? Bradley, who? That's showbiz. Like, I love that moment, but it is good cop, bad cop, because before that moment, you know, Bradley's X5. Is that the number? Am I right? X5.
X5, yeah.
Yeah. So X5, Bradley is really hammering at home. Like, dude, you're a loser. You know, you're a villain. Quit. You can lie to all these people. You can even lie to yourself. But we know what you're here for. You know, and just completely getting deep into the core of who Loki is. And Loki's, you can tell. Maybe he's not, maybe he is. Felt like he was hurt. Felt like he was feeling it a lot more. And he even says, you know, you're costing Mobius, you're costing B-15, you're costing blah, blah, blah. You cost your mother. Holy shit. Like, you know, there was just, he went into it. And Mobius tried to warn him before they even, like, hey, this dude's a bit of an asshole. Just want you to be aware. And he came in, still hit it. And we see Loki, and he's using that voice I haven't heard him use since the first Avengers movie. When he was like, you know, you mewling quim. And, like, I heard that growl in Tom Hiddleston's voice. It was very subtle, but I heard it. And I was like, oh, callback. This isn't new Loki. This isn't shadow holding. This is the Loki we know and love from the first Thor and the first Avengers movie. It's a callback, and it's a very powerful one at that. Before we get to boxed lunch, we'll get to that in a minute. The first wave, I thought was really a really great scene between the good cop, bad cop, and we even see Mobius lose it for a moment. But before that, let's stick with the Loki part. Keith, with Loki kind of getting back into those ways, what were you thinking?
I transcribed the whole fucking monologue. Bradley, to me, this is the point where I was like, Bradley stole the show in this episode. And it changes from that point on, but yep. I love this moment where he's trying to get it under everybody's skin. He starts with Loki, and he's like, at the end of the day, you just make everything worse. You lose. You're a loser. Stop trying to be a hero, man. You're a villain, and you're good at it. Do that. I'm Bradley. But, like, he fucking mind fucks him so bad.
Yeah.
And it is, honestly, that is what Loki did. that was Loki's thing. He sees so much of himself in Bradley, and we all should, because the second Bradley even runs away when he says, let's all get a drink, let's get whiskeys, and then he's running behind Loki's shoulder, and he goes, is he running? He's like, he is running. And it's like, that's because Loki has waited for everybody who pursued him to turn their back for 1 second and run, then runs off. He's
knows.
Been this guy.
He knows.
Yeah.
That's
and those moments where he's manipulating people in interrogations, he's in control of the situation with Black Widow or with Thor or whoever. He's always in control. So it's so much a mirror of what Loki used to be. And now he's seeing it for himself and having to deal with it, you know, straight up, you know, full force.
Well said. Amy, during this interrogation and you seeing Loki coming back, what were your thoughts? Did you like growly Loki?
Yeah, it's hot.
There's going to be a theme this entire season, I feel like, with Amy. So, yeah.
But awful. No, I was going to say, like, they all go into this room thinking, yeah, exactly. Awful, terrible things. Yeah. But no, they all go into this room and they're psyching each other up and everybody's thinking that Loki's going to be the one that Bradley can weasel his way into his mind. And then it turns out to be Mobius. And I feel like it's kind of predictable. Kind of, sort of.
I didn't see it coming. I didn't.
Did you not?
No.
I didn't see that coming at all.
I didn't. And I will just expound about it because I love that even the show thought what I was thinking, where Loki confronts. So just to talk about the scene real quick, Mobius warns Loki prior to the interrogation. Mm-hmm. He's an asshole. This is what he does. Don't let him get under your skin. He ends up getting under Mobius's skin to the point where he's like, you know, this is all bullshit. Don't you want to know what's out there? And I think the thought of that really rattled Mobius. I think he's aware. I think he's more aware now than he's ever has that he likes the TVA. He likes what he does. He's an analyst, but it's not real. It's not, none of this is. And I think through seeing it through what Loki has done and through now, you know, X5 and all these different people, he's starting to realize, what the fuck am I doing here? And what the hell did I leave? And I think that is hitting him. Yeah. Was it predictable? No, I don't think him losing it and punching the guy. I don't think so at all, because as Loki said, I've never seen you like that before. You kind of lost your cool there. You all right? And we'll get to that beautiful scene where they're eating pie together. I will talk about that because that's one of my favorite scenes from this episode. But I thought it was impactful that Mobius lost it. And it was so not really. Now, you know, I don't know. I didn't see it coming, but I loved it. I did love it. And it added another layer to Mobius, which I like.
Mobius, yeah. I don't know that I saw it coming that Mobius was going to lose it on him. Mm. I 100%, whenever they were warning Loki of how big of an asshole this guy was, right. I was like, well, Loki's not going to be the one to lose it on him.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, that's a good point. You know,
if anyone does.
Yeah.
But
well, you're streets ahead.
Yeah.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? Sometimes I eat with two hands. Sometimes I only eat with one.
I was on a road trip and my wife listens to the show. So I'm listening to our podcast while we're on the road. Shit you not, we're stopping and the podcast is on. And one of us is eating a sandwich with two hands. And right when you say, like, who eats with two hands? And she's like, the fuck? And it was so fucking funny. You're like, God. And then like he goes, well, I didn't think of silverware, and we're like, okay, yeah.
Think of sandwiches either.
cut to that slowed down part right now.
Yes, so fucking funny. Anyway, so we see Mobius lose it a bit, and we see
you silly little man. God.
Oh, can I talk about that for a second?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, my God. The fact that Mobius's character is so fucking wholesome. The guy wears a brown suit, eats key lime pie. It's his favorite thing. He wants to do what's right. And he gets pushed to a point where we've never seen him this angry. And all he can yell at the guy is, you're a shit little man. I was like, shit, yeah, that's the best. I've never seen him that mad. But the fact that he doesn't break character, he doesn't become some other guy, it's still within the parameters of Mobius. I loved it so much.
And he doesn't call him a stupid fucking cunt.
Yeah, exactly. He calls him a
silly little man.
Time works differently here. He can say that word you just said. No, but he has like B-15 as the angel and X5 as the devil on his shoulder. And they both have a different perspective of what it means that they were all variants for at some point. And he's being tugged in both ways, but he just wants his simple life. And we'll explore it later with the key lime pie. I loved that silly little man.
That silly little man. Stupid fucking time.
It hurts more. My wife and I talk all the time about how one of the best insults you can tell somebody is that you're a fucking clown shoe.
Ouch.
And it doesn't mean anything.
I don't know why, but I hurt
so much.
You looked right at the camera and I was like, I'm a clown shoe. Like, I really got hurt.
It means nothing.
Yeah. But it means everything. I felt it just now. So fuck that opinion. It means something. Oh, but I will say, I agree. And then so when he does lose it, there's this walk through this hallway and it's actually kind of, you know, he's like, where are we? He's like, I was following you. He's like, I was following you. No, you were clearly ahead of me.
Clearly ahead of me.
Yeah, and the whole time he's like, I've never seen you act like this before. And he's like, you want to go grab pie? They have a pie room. Pies. Holy shit. We need Avengers headquarters, Avengers Tower. We need a pie room. Emmy, get started on that. We need that.
Okay.
Please.
All right. We're going to have to take out more than the tax amount. we're going to have really people quick. pay in, like, you guys are going to have to pay instead of me paying y'all.
That is patreon.com/adventurespodcast. Support the show. $1 today can help us get a pie room. Thank you.
For the pie room.
Pie room.
The fact that this room says pies,
pies, pies, pies, pies.
But only key lime pie. There's 150 little windows that have a green pie in there.
That's what.
And that's it. Just ready to go.
Going back
that's
to my.
That's just Mobius's dorm.
Going back to my first point. Are we in purgatory? Is this all real? Is it not real?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I kind of did that on purpose. I won't lie. I was like, let me bring this up and then bring it back during the pies. Something so innocent. Throw it right in there. I don't know. Holy shit. That was jolting to me when I saw that. I'm like, what the fuck is this? Whose dream are we in? Wait. What is happening right now?
Very Wes Anderson of everything.
Right. Oh, God.
So my second watch, I had to skip through a bit because I was a bit lost for time because I guess who I is.
About that.
Yeah, right? Right. Oh, my God.
I get it. We're playing with time every day.
Don't give her a fucking excuse. Don't do it.
Yeah. No, I fucked around too long trying to make my friend's cat look like me.
And she found out. She found out.
Did you succeed?
Nope.
Make it look like you. What do you mean?
No.
Oh, sorry. Make your friend's cat like
you. I was trying to make my friend's cat like me.
Okay, you did say look like you, though. I was like, what did
I thought I heard that.
What did you do?
I said that. I'm sorry.
I can just see me with a cat being like, okay, here's some blonde extensions. All right, so this is great. Here's my favorite drag shirt. You're going to wear this, and it's going to be great. You look great, Emmy. It's just a cat. Like,
you try to train the cat. You're like, okay, cat, now say this. No. Okay, do that.
It's like, meow. We'd start the next podcast episode. It's just a cat with a blonde wig on sitting in Amy's chair.
I'm going to steal my friend's cat and go to my friend's house and act like her cat.
Emmy, how you doing?
Meow.
Meow. Holy shit, I thought that was Emmy until it meowed. That's a cat. Holy fuck.
Okay, no. I'm sorry.
What were the Rotten Tomatoes?
Meow.
88%. It went up a percent, Keith. This is
fucking crazy. I thought they saw all four episodes.
Wow. Meow.
All right. So, Amy.
No, So I was trying to do a rewatch and I had to skip through a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
All of the pies in the pie room, Marquee Lime.
It sure looked
all of
that
them.
Way. Sure.
All of them.
Mm-hmm. 150, I counted.
I counted 153.
Fuck!
y'all have too much time on your hands.
Yeah. I just, it was those three in the bottom cabinet, Keith, you missed those. You know, if someone opened it in the break room and there was those three sitting in there, that was the 153. But no, it begs the question, guys. I thought that was an odd place, especially of a TVA. Why would you have all that?
Well, because he doesn't know what a fish is, but they have key lime pie?
Yeah. Like,
what are we doing here? What is happening in the TVA?
It's a mind fuck. We're in mind fuck territory again. That's, yeah. I think this is almost close to WandaVision levels of mind fuck. Telling you, I hate to say those words, but.
Bradley.
No,
sorry.
Bradley's nuts.
No, Mephisto.
Ah, confirmed.
Mephisto.
Is it?
All right. So we move on from the key lime pie discussion and we go into.
Oh, wait.
I didn't know we were moving on that fast.
You guys ready to move on from pie.
Good Lord. No.
Okay. Oh, shit. Loki talking about New York. And he's like, yeah, I lost it. You know, he's like, I was so mad at my brother and my father.
I threw Tony Stark off a building.
And had an alien army attack New York. He's
That's
like,
his perspective of the whole thing. He's like, I lost it. I threw him off a building.
It's so fucking good. That was when he turned into the Mark 7 and flew off. Oh, God, I love that scene.
Oh. What to talk about hot.
Yeah.
Roll up your sleeves and get those.
Those bracelets.
Those little bracelets.
Burn someone's face off at the base of the building, but that's fine.
Doesn't matter.
They're fine.
Doesn't matter. Yeah. They're fine.
Doesn't matter. Is the hot guy okay?
'Tis merely a flesh wound. It was fine. But yeah, no, I love that that's Loki's perspective of it. Like, this dude, you silly little man. And Loki's like, yeah, no, I tried to like basically take over New York with an alien army and threw a dude out of a building. Fuck it. We all lose it.
My favorite thing before they left that key lime pie scenario, they had this heart to heart where he says, don't you want to know, see if you lived, how you lived before you were kidnapped from the TVA?
He's like, yes.
And he says basically like the idea that what if it was good?
Yeah.
The torment of that would be. Do you think I want that rattling up around here? It's like, Mobius is the biggest hero we have in the MCU right now because of that line. Mm-hmm. He's just like, I don't want to be tormented with what life I might have had. I want to save the timelines. I want to save all these lives.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. He can't be tempted by something else because he knows he has a job to do here and now.
And I think
if there is something else out there that's better, he's like, I don't even want the possibility that I would jump ship and go to this.
The effect it would have on you, like X5, the perfect example of what a selfish person would do with that information.
Yeah, this
a stupid fucking cunt.
This made,
I'm sorry, this, a silly little man.
This made Mobius one of the most relatable characters in the entire MCU, 100%. And whether you battle mental challenges or mental struggles every single day, the fact when he's like, what if it's good? Do you think I want that rattling around in your head? Just to quote you, Keith, and quote the show, it was so powerful of a line. I don't think it can be understated because I think it was just more so, I can live if it's something I want to get away from, but what if it's something that did mean something to it and I lost it? That grieving process that he'd have to deal with and finding it again or even trying to get close to it. That's a hard thing to even comprehend. No, and Mobius, I like what I do. I'm an analyst. I think it's almost a self-preservation technique, and we all are guilty of it. One time or another, we all do it. And he is doing it in front of our eyes. And it makes me love this character so much because I think he's like, I love this because I have to love it because I don't want to know what else could be there. I still think we need to see Mobius on a jet ski by the end of the season. We said that at the end of the first season, but
you're right.
I need Mobius in a happy ending somewhere.
I have one last point about the key lime scene, but do you have another one as well, Emmy?
I do, but it's a stupid anecdote about my life.
Go for it.
My birthday always falls over spring break.
Yeah.
Spring break, like fall break, I always visit Grammy with my mom. And my mom and Grammy love key lime pie from Publix. And so for my birthday. My birthday cake from them is always a Q-Lime pie from Publix. Aww.
That's really sweet, actually.
Awesome. It is really sweet. I you Q-Lime don't like pie, it. Q-Lime pie is fine.
That's really sweet. Yeah, but fuck it, you know?
No, Key Lime Pie is fine and great. Like, that's, I'm so glad that they get to have Key Lime Pie on my birthday.
They literally have their pie and eat it too. They're, yeah. They're like, yeah,
let's, you let them.
It's not beautiful. My favorite thing. But honestly, like, yeah, it's every year for my birthday, I get a Key Lime Pie from Publix.
All the right. fact that you let them do that and let them think that you like it, it and makes
I say,
you
I
it
say changes nothing.
You from a it changes you from a Brad to a Bradley.
This is so impactful.
Oh, sorry.
Oh my god.
Thank you.
That is the nicest
in a good way. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, that was the nicest thing anyone's ever said to Emmy. You're not a Brad, you're a Bradley. So nice. Wow. Keith, what did you have, man?
Final thoughts of this little heart to heart that they have is okay, in the first season of the show, first episode, they're looking at the files of Loki's life, and Mobius says, you know, with all this mass murder that he's doing, you're supposed to be the god of mischief. I don't see anything very, very mischievous about this.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. at the end of this Key Lime Pie episode, or this conversation anyways, he's going and saying, you're the god of mischief. Like, he's encouraging him to take on a less villainous role with the same title that he used to live with. You're the god of mischief. And he's trying to put him up on this, you know, you decide, you show what you're good at and be what you're good at for the sake of good and see what happens. Because he's never believed that he was a villain. And, you know, he screams that through the door for dramatic effect later. But we know that Mobius does not think that Loki is a villain. That's not how he sees it since episode one.
And after the plot works, if it was a plot or like the plan, after the plan works, and he says, yeah, we did that with a little bit of mischief. Yeah, I like that. I like that.
Yeah, me too.
And we switch gears to the next where they interrogate, and exactly to your point, Keith, where they shut the door, and I kind of love this scene so much more. Due to the context after, you know, so Loki, hey, they bring in this machine. I love when they clank against the door. And like, I think even Tom Hiddleston's like startled for a second. Like, they acted really well here. I know for such a small little thing, but that stuff makes me smile. They bring this machine in. Oh, we forgot the controller. Mobius goes out, shuts the door, locks it. Loki's in. Hey, it's not going to work without a controller. Bradley says, you mean this? This old, clanky 1970s looking fucking thing. And it is so amazing watching Loki just like, you know, just kind of, he's playing Loki. He's not playing dumb. Yeah. He's playing Loki. He's like, I don't know how this works. Oh, look at this. And he's like, I made it smaller. You know, and he just keeps, it's this box where he contains Bradley, makes it smaller and smaller to the point where, hey, where's Docs? Where's Sylvie? You know, and where's the Tim Pat? Basically, give us all the information. You know, I don't know shit. Gets him down into this little box and immediately releases him when he's like, you know, and Sylvie was living her life.
To die.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it was, he would have, I think Loki could have. And
great
he,
acting.
Yes. Tom Hiddleston, we say this about a bunch of MCU characters, made for Loki. Made for Loki.
Yeah.
Thank goodness he's still with the MCU and he's still playing this character, because I love him for this. And it was a very visceral scene. And at the end of it, you know, because Mobius the whole time banging on the door, Loki, let me in. Loki, it's locked. I can't get it. Walks in. He's like, all right. You know, just like, he's just like,
just a little bit of mischief.
It made me love Mobius. It's the trust these two have, you know, and it's just. Once again, what I wanted from this season, and I'm getting it in spades, this relationship is continuing to develop. Loki confiding in him. Hey, man, in New York, kind of lost, you know, like, hey, I've been there. That's a friend. Hey, I've been there. You know, hey, to my version of it, which is a little bit more extreme than you, silly little man. But also in this interrogation scene, I was like, when they pulled it off and Mobius walks right through that door, I was like, you did it perfect. I'm sorry. That scene is great storytelling, and you told multiple different stories within that. It hit so many different notes with Loki playing the last classic Loki, the friendship of Mobius and Loki creating Loki, also being a great interrogator and developing this new kind of arc within, you know, who he is as a TVA agent, if he is that. So much. There were so many notes played. I loved it. Fucking great scene. Sorry. Just great. Ugh.
You go first.
Oh, I punched my mic.
I didn't hear it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I did. Do you want me to do it again?
No, no. Amy, what you got?
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Take
I'm kidding.
Two.
No, okay. Sorry. I while you were saying that, even if it's not... yeah, this episode, like I said, it felt high stakes for the characters in the show. It wasn't so much high stakes for me, but it built that relationship between Mobius and Loki. And that is what I think I want and need out of the show. Mm. And I loved that part of it. And I'm so excited that Loki 2, season 2, is here. Okay.
I loved Tom Hiddleston's acting in that interrogation moment, and when he, you know, plays the evil Loki again, and he's just like, oh, I guess there's a bit of a learning curve to this with this thing, and he's like, yeah, there's a learning curve. You could kill me with that, you know? Could I?
Yeah.
And he looks up and he just kind of like, could I?
Oh, yeah. Like, and not giving a damn when he says it. You can tell right then he's like, oh, you think I give a shit? Like, you just told me I was, you know, like you labeled me clearly. So yeah, I mean, think I give a fuck. So I love it.
You forget I'm a villain.
Mm-hmm.
I've done terrible, awful things.
Yep.
Yeah, it was really fucking good.
And she has a new life. As soon as he, like, she has a new life, that's when he gets released.
Yeah.
Sylvie.
Oh my God. My dad was claustrophobic. My wife's claustrophobic. I am not, but my God, that was well done. That crushing cube. Oh, I felt it. I felt it. The way he was just posed, holding along every wall.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was good.
It was very good.
It wasn't a cube. It was a rectangular prism.
God, I hate you so much.
You're right, and I'm wrong.
No, stop. Keith, it's okay. Please don't leave us. It's fine. It's fine. welcome to the show.
I'm sorry. That was a nitpick. That I shouldn't have voiced, and it still came out.
It's a nitpick she had with the Avengers host, not with the show.
With this current analysis of the episode. I have a nitpick now.
Nitpick on Keith. Nitpick on Keith.
He needs to know the difference. Amy,
right. You were talking about dressing up cats to look like you. I don't want to hear a word from you this episode.
I was taught what a square was by Pulp Fiction, and she goes, don't be a... And then she draws a rectangle.
Yes.
And I was like, as a kid, I was like, am I getting this wrong? I'm not
So she has a new life. Sorry. Here we go on.
Wait, I was going to say about the rectangular prism.
Oh, my God. Amy.
Oh, no. I stand behind it. I absolutely stand behind it, because sometimes I see someone and I'm like, oh, that looks like so-and-so and so-and-so had a baby. No, it is 100% Jeremy Renner, John Krasinski, and this episode, Brendan Fraser also was added into the mix.
Ah, okay. Was it the eyes? Yeah. Was it the eyes?
I feel like it's John Krasinski from the eyes down,
mm-hmm.
and from the eyes up is like a Jeremy Renner, Mark Wahlberg.
Okay.
Oh, we throw a mark in there too.
Oh man,
you're Brendan Fraser.
There's literally, you're bringing seven celebrities now. I don't know.
George Clooney.
Yeah, exactly.
You're just naming white
Brad
men.
Brad Pitt.
Yeah, gosh. Yeah,
you're being a little racist.
Theodore Roosevelt. Yeah,
we all look alike.
I mean.
Oh, but yes.
If it fits, it fits.
All right. Mobius. No,
definitely Jeremy Renner, John Krasinski, and Brendan Fraser.
She had to, like, okay, I got to talk about
these
celebrities.
Definitely three out of the four.
Okay, good deal. So Mobius walks right in after she has a new life. And a hell of a performance. And it's great. And Obi, we're all going to die. Nice to meet you. We're all going to die. Bless. We got to talk about... Obi here, because he's talking about the containment doors. The only person that can open the containment doors are the people who designed it. that can open it with their temporal aura. And that person's dead. And Miss Minutes isn't here to override it. And we got to convince her. Obi's having this little side mission quest where, hey, we're all going to die. Nice to meet you. Oh, I'd love to sign your book. It's fucking hysterical. I love that between him and Casey.
I love it too.
Yeah. Casey being a fanboy of Obi.
Comic-Con. Yeah. He's so useful now. Helping people understand. Yeah, I'm so proud of him.
In addition to a Madison series with Wong, I need an Obi and Casey series. I think that.
Yes!
Yeah. So I think those two are winning ideas. Marvel, just make a buddy comedy film in the greater MCU.
Kevin.
Baby
bird it.
Right there.
Right in her mouth.
Right here. Just please, just baby bird it to us. We would love that so much.
Yeah. But Matt Wong and Casey. OOC?
Stop. It's getting worse. The more you try, it's. Okay. But the containment doors, obviously, the more those branches grow, this thing's going to melt down. And we see that, hey, what are we going to do here? And kind of leaves us on a bit of a cliffhanger there. You know, where what's going to happen? How are they going to get that? I'm looking for additional notes here. I apologize. I kind of got bad taking notes towards the end. But
because there's that whole scene that they're in the McDonald's again.
Yes.
God damn it, McDonald's. Y'all really weaseled your way into the show.
I loved it. Yep. But Brad is jumpy the
loved
entire.
It. Is he, that?
Yo, no, he's jumpy this entire scene, and they played it off really well at the beginning. I love the rewatch where he's like, this person's a variant who killed this many people. And I was like, oh, okay. That makes sense why he's kind of jumpy around Sylvie. But the more Mobius picks up on it, obviously the viewer picks up on it. He's just jumpy in general. And he's jumpy about the location. Mm-hmm. And we find out like everyone's going to die. They are pruning branches. Docs is pruning branches as we speak. And Sylvie, they go find Sylvie at the McDonald's. Sylvie is like, I want nothing to do with the TVA. It needs to be burnt to the ground. And Loki, hey, I saw the future. You were there when shit hit the fan. Oh, you can see the future now. I didn't choose to. There's a lot of just so much going on here. And then when they find the branches being pruned, that's when we talk about the branches. And now there's billions of people dying. It's a lot to unpack here, guys.
Sylvie first saying, Loki saying it's going to happen. Sylvie saying, is it? Because it sounds a lot like the future has already been written and we both know it hasn't. Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Made sure of that. Mm-hmm. I loved that. This great dialogue. But also Loki then explains instantly that it's bigger than the TVA. You like the life that you live here. You want to protect it. You have to help us save it. Yeah. And the amount of movies and TV that I've seen over the years that they don't get this communication out. Like if you were to have these star-crossed lovers or whatever, this serious scenario, and then some explosion happens and it interrupts the communication of that kind of important thing. It totally destroys the option for that character who's supposed to be important,
yep,
making their own mind up, making their own decision, and it interrupts that entirely. I'm so glad they didn't do that and they just got the whole explanation.
Episode two.
So that, yeah.
Here it is.
So she can be on board or not, and it's up to her, not up to the fact that, oh, she didn't get the whole story. Like, that happens all the time, and it drives me insane. So it's just a good writing choice.
And I'm just going to play. Emmy says that a lot when we review things. Communication. It's everything. Yes. And to see that, Emmy, to your point that you've made in past podcasts, I think I completely agree with that, actually, Keith. And to see, oh, two characters just talking it out. Yeah, there's that little awkward hi moment. But they got straight to the point, which is you're going to have that weird, is this? But then they talked it out and they reached it. They reached to the point where, okay, we're all on the same page now. I love that.
Mm-hmm. No, I completely agree. And I think that my biggest gripe with the whole scene,
yeah,
is just that McDonald's is the forefront.
Yeah.
It pissed me off, honestly.
I get it.
How much of a character McDonald's plays in Loki season 2.
Not going to lie.
Character in the movie.
I wanted some fries after it, so it worked. It fucking worked.
Motherfucker.
It worked. I'm sorry. It worked.
It called back to a better time at McDonald's before the damn salad. Okay?
Oh, they don't have them anymore.
They got rid of the salad?
They got rid of the salad. My mom was pissed off about it. No. Oh, do they?
Yeah, I think so.
Canada, of course, has the salad. America's like, we don't need that shit.
America was
now
like,
they're all, yeah, now you. They're all McCafes up here. They have salad. Oh, and
yeah. Well,
and
we have that shit too.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool.
But no ice cream.
They're trying to
machine that works. Mm-hmm. Damn it.
The machine never works.
Yep. It's
never. They don't have
it's
working.
It's down again. What are you here for?
They don't have any. No, they just send an ice cream machine to McDonald's. It has never worked.
They literally like, hey, we're gonna deliver this broken ice cream machine to you. We'll turn it on 2 days a year, probably at that. But yeah, fuck, man, come on, McDonald's. Anyway, sorry, that's my rant. So
yeah, if you're gonna be in Loki, you gotta fucking step up your game, bitch.
Well said, Emmy. Well said,
Ronald.
Yeah.
Yep. You bitch.
Ronald McBitch. Yeah, okay. So but so we see
more like penny fries.
So I think we found it part three. There it is. It's like, hey Georgie, you wanna have it your wait, no, have it your way is Burger King.
No, it's Burger King.
We all fry down here. Oh man.
So Docs is going rogue, and she's like, hey, I'm going to prune all these timelines. I'm going to do all this stuff. Here we go. And, yeah, kind of didn't work out. So, yeah, just to kind of summarize that Docs conversation, guys, Docs is just still believing in the TVA and what it stands for and going through the ways we saw in that Mobius protected so much in season one of prune all the branches, not giving a shit who or what it hurts. Let's just prune these branches. And even while everyone else is kind of having a very different moment, but it's kind of weird because I can kind of almost relate to Docs a little bit because they're even saying as these branches continue, a meltdown could occur. And Docs is like, well, fuck it. Let's prune this shit and get it going. So just a lot of internal TVA fighting. And I think we're obviously going to see that play out a lot more in episode 3, 4, 5. So, and 6, maybe. I don't know.
I hope that Kate Dickie's part in this show is not over because I would love to see her character shine because she's had way bigger parts than the things I've seen her in, and she's a great actress. So I really hope it doesn't just stop there with Docs and we get to see maybe an interrogation of her next. I don't know.
But she sucks.
She does suck. That's true.
That's a very good point. That's a very good point, Emmy. Astute observation. I really appreciate that. So, that is Loki season 2, episode 2. Guys, we're here for it. We love the show. It's an absolute fantastic, such a thrill ride. Cannot wait. Suspenseful thriller? No, what was it? Shit. I forgot it.
Oh. God.
I forgot it.
He says it in the episode.
We talked about it earlier.
Paranormal thriller. That's not right.
No, it's not.
Fuck.
Oh, an elevated thriller.
Elevated thriller. There it is. This series is an elevated thriller, and I'm here for it. I love it. So, Emmy, got any final notes to get to before we call it the old podcast?
I loved seeing Sylvie fucking kick ass again.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That was nice. I'm very excited for her to kick ass again. Her haircut, mullet, just saying, not a fan.
Okay.
It's making a big resurgence up here. I don't know about you guys, but
No. I have tons of kids that have them.
Gen Zs love them.
The mullets are a big thing.
Why?
I was on the beach and children. The
carelessness?
Literally just flapping in the wind. Their little hairs just tickling the backs of their necks. It was
Devil
like,
May Care attitude has returned in a big way. Right. Expressed through the mullet.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Business in the front, party in the back.
Okay. Yeah. All right. What?
Is that the attitude we're going into 2024 with?
I think we're bringing it back, guys. I think we're bringing it back.
Yes.
All right. All right.
Love that Sylvie. Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
It was still your moment, I think.
I want you to go. Because you're talking about Sylvie.
Well, Sylvie, right before she leaves, she says, "This is the best you lot can do." And then she's about to leave, and Loki says, he's pleading with her, and he says, "Please don't. It's harder to stay."
It's right. Harder and to
what
stay.
What did you guys think of that line? What does that mean to you?
I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Because
what do you think he was saying, though? Like, what? Because it was kind of loose ended, I thought.
I think it's a play on Loki's life. I think it's a play on, you know, he abandoned Asgard. Mm. He abandoned a lot of different. I mean, he left Asgard multiple times and stayed away. And whether it was finding, you know, a place on, you know, a different planet, or trying to take a different, take Earth as his own, or whatever it ended up being, Asgard was, it was pain for him. Going back home and staying was pain. So he left, and it's harder to stay. I think that was a man speaking from experience, and I felt the pain in his voice when he said it, and I loved it. I thought it was really, really powerful.
I took it similarly, but I thought it's harder to stay was him saying it's harder to be selfless than to be selfish. Like, her leaving was selfish.
Yeah.
Well said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I took it as not only that, those are both great interpretations of it. I was thinking that too. The extra, I don't know if this is, maybe I'm just grasping at straws, but they're green straws, so it's Loki themed. he's kind of saying that it's hard for him to stay and be a hero without her by his side.
Ah.
Like, he's never felt as heroic as he did in, you know, grabbing hands with her against Goliath and going to the end of time together. And I think that it's tricky for him to stick around when he knows that she's out there somewhere.
Mm.
So I don't know. I loved your guys' interpretation.
I think that's a beautiful interpretation too, Keith. I think all three
those
are great. Shit.
Yeah.
Look at us getting in our feels. Shit. Okay. So, yeah.
I have to give a shout out because I noticed it. I'm sorry. I have to give a shout out to myself because I noticed it, but it was also brought up in the Discord.
I have to give a shout out to myself. Did you just hear that? Guys, turn off the podcast now, please. I won't mind. I understand.
I get it too. It's okay.
God.
But Matt, not Matt Murdock, also saw that Sylvie is wearing the, I think it's called the Ankh, that are Egyptian hieroglyphs. Mm-hmm. It's the cross that has like the loop-de-loop on the top.
Mm-hmm.
She's wearing those earrings in this episode. Ties to Moon Knight.
Khonshu confirmed.
Who knows, but also he made the connection from last episode, from episode one, that Casey was listening to a tape that was very familiar and seemed like it might be from the same app or the same tape recording as the Don't Fall Asleep that Mark listens to. No, Steven listens to.
Are you saying that there might be multiple Moon Knight references with that Khonshu old git, that bag of bones?
I think crazy.
I think there might be.
Oh, man, please. Emmy, you're going Southern. I know you're not trying to, but you're like, there might be, y'all. You hear? Don't do
Matt,
it.
Matt brought it up, and it's just interesting to me. And today, I tried to do a Russian accent today, and I went totally Jamaican.
Okay. You just accents
it. I do that when I do Irish. That's very interesting. Yeah. Okay. Russian, though. Yeah. Russian to Jamaican.
My friend's cat only speaks with a Russian accent.
With a Jamaican accent.
She doesn't understand Jamaican.
Yes! That's it for the podcast this week. We're heading on out. If you want to dress your cat up like yourself and send us photos, you can do it on our social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Threads, Adventures Podcast.
I have a final word on this episode.
Yes.
And this is all I'll say.
Yeah.
Because I know I'm steaming for episode 3.
Yes.
Steaming.
Steaming.
Just a steaming pile of episode 3.
Are you clamoring for it?
I think he's steaming.
That's what I meant. Yeah.
I like steaming.
Steaming.
For the first time, for me anyway, everything that Loki's doing now feels like a progress to something more rather than just feeling like, oh, this is something that happens after Endgame. Like, I see a lot of promise for the type of elevated thriller that we're getting in
this. Yeah!
And I want to see more.
Yes. All. Yes. Well said. Well said, guys. We will be here on Friday night. Late Friday, we'll be dropping our episode 3 podcast. So stay tuned for next week. We'll be back reviewing episode 3 of Loki season 2. Guys, if you want to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Threads, Avengers Podcast, one word, Abingers Podcast. We also have a TikTok. We're starting to post TikToks, guys. TikTok is at Avengers Podcast as well, Abingers Podcast over there. Yeah, we got some TikToks. We're starting to make the name be known there. If you want to see the video version of this podcast, youtube.com/TheAvengers. YouTube.com/TheAvengers. You will get this video form. You'll see my two co-hosts trying to distract the shit out of me while I plug our podcast. Yeah, you can see the full video podcast. We have episode 1 available, full video form, and our Daredevil news breakdown on YouTube.com/TheAvengers. You want to support the show? $1 a month can do it. Hey, Patreon.com/Avengers Podcast. $1 a month helps keeps our lights on. If you want to support the show, say, hey, good job, guys. Keep doing what you're doing. That dollar really, really does help. It goes a long way with us paying our bills and keeping the show running. So thank you so much to our patrons. We have 90 lovely patrons right now. You want to be number 91? We give you a shout out, and we really would appreciate it. Another quick way to support the show, if you're listening in your audio realm, guys, you can go to your podcast platform of choice, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. I'm getting distracted. Leave a 5-star rating on your podcast platform of choice. Really does go a long way with us getting eyes and ears on the show. So please consider giving a 5-star rating wherever you listen to podcasts. It really does help out. YouTube, give us a subscribe. We're on a goal to reach 500 subscribers. So if you can give us a subscribe over there, we are currently at 468. 32 subscribers away from our goal. We would love to see 500 subscribers. So yes, please help us out over there. And that is enough of the plugs. AvengersPodcast.com. Want to learn more about us and shop for merch? Go over there too. All right. Damn it. That was a lot.
P.O. Box 5661, Knoxville, Tennessee 37928.
Yeah. Send us a package.
Yeah.
We'd love to see your package. Well, no, give us a package. Don't send us that, please.
We'd love to smell your...
No. Ooh, this is getting weird. Send us a package and we'll smell it and open it. It will be wonderful.
Yeah. So. I just re-upped that. So we are good till April.
Yeah. So
we don't get anything from now till April.
It ain't happening.
It goes goodbye.
All right. So if you want to send us a letter, you want to say something nice. I still have my Funko Pops. I have one from Smash John. I have one from Bobby. I have one from Matt. I have 3 Funko Pops that just are right within my vision. I have a painting that one of our lovely patrons, Brandy, got me. A lot of amazing people have given us some wonderful things. A card from Whitney for their happy holidays. Some packs of Dietz nuts. There's been a lot of people that have really just given us some really, really cool shit. So thank you guys so much for just showing us your love. We really appreciate that. Guys, we're heading on out of here. We'll be back next week, wherever you listen to podcasts or wherever you watch your YouTubes. Before we head on out, Emmy, do we have a credits name to get to?
No, I couldn't. I didn't have time.
Fuck around and find out. We'll be back. We'll be back with 2 next week.
Yep. Tommy nice. Turtle still stands.
Yeah. That's a good one.
That's a two-weeker.
That's a 2-weeker. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
The Frasier pilot sucked.
Oh, Keith, we need
to
get you.
Oh, I was going to watch it after this.
Oh, gosh, nah. Keith.
I mean, watch it. Watch it. Make up your own mind.
All right.
I'm not your what?
I'm not your arbiter of good pilots for rebooted sitcoms from the 90s. Do whatever you want. Like it.
All right. Like it. I dare you. I fucking dare you.
I dare you.
Yeah, that sounded like a threat.
Tell me if you liked it.
That sounded like a threat. Like it.
Yeah.
Do it. All right, guys, we're heading on out of here. Thanks so much for listening. Keith and Emmy, any final words before we head on out?
I'm absolutely going to watch the Frasier pilot. And if you mess with the honk, you get the bonk.
I got nothing. I can't follow that.
Bonk.
Bonk.